you seen an issue arise where there was a bad actor potentially involved or in it was stopped?
Through QuickScope. We run into it daily. We're at least with one of our customers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, there, I don't think there's a day where we haven't been able to say this is not, that
it's,
we haven't
it's
seen.
It's actually astonishing.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like when we walked into this, we felt like we were experts at this issue,
right?
The specific fraud issue. We felt like we were experts. And as we started deploying the technology, obviously we're hyper-focused on its performance. We're watching every order. We're watching the pictures that are sent, the phone numbers that are being utilized. I mean, we're hyper-focused. The stuff we were getting back was insane. We had one shipper that called us in for a consultation. They're in the food and beverage space, huge company. They kept what they thought was having an issue of cargo theft. They had three in 1 week. They called us. They said, can you come in and consult and fix this? So we went in. We put all sorts of protocols at shipping and receiving to make sure that they were more secure. And then we deployed QuickScope. The following week that we deployed QuickScope, over 40% of the trucks that were sent in were rejected. 40%.
My gosh. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Caution Wide Right. It's a trucking podcast brought to you by CNS, where we help trucking industry from getting your CDL, starting a trucking business, to fleet safety management and more. I'm Luke, your host, and today we're going to talk about broker fraud. That's right. Some brokers have dishonest business practices, which can create unnecessary financial hardships. We'll talk about some of the stats in a little bit. For unsuspecting motor carriers. Now, this is especially an issue during the freight recession we're experiencing, where every dollar matters. And in fact, broker fraud has made the landscape of our industry unrecognizable. And unfortunately, its impact continued to grow more and more. Broker fraud covers a wide range of fraudulent activity, including cargo theft, identity theft, and unauthorized rebrokering. But there are tools out there to help. My guests today are Mike Fulham and Matt Patterson, co-founders of QuickScope, a tool for transportation partners to engage efficiently while mitigating the risks of rebrokering, identity theft, identity fraud, and cargo theft. Let's find out how. Mike, Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having us. Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so before we talk about your background and starting the company, let's just talk about broker fraud. What is broker fraud and how has it changed and grown over the years?
Well, I mean, I think the fraud problem is presenting itself in a number of different ways right now. One of the ways is in the broker fraud space for sure. And really what you're seeing there is, it's kind of a multi-pronged problem, right? Yes. It's hard to really capture in a 20 second spiel here, but ultimately what we're seeing is you have bad actors, oftentimes in other countries, other parts of the world, and they're doing two things. They're representing themselves falsely as a broker. They've stolen the identity of a broker, and then they're going out and selling freight to an unsuspecting carrier who thinks they're working with, we'll call it broker A. Reality, it's not broker A, right? So what ends up happening? You have a carrier that delivers a load. They think everything's good. They go to get paid. They can't figure out who they're supposed to go to. All the while, this person misrepresenting themselves in another country has already collected payment, never to be found again.
Yeah.
Problem there is now the actual broker has a situation where they're now double paying. They have to pay the executing carrier, and they've most likely already paid the false broker, if you want to call it that. So that's just one of the areas that we're seeing it. But it all comes down to this identity problem and really how easy it's been for these bad actors to get the information of these brokers, to get the information of the carriers, and really execute some ever-evolving scams that we're really just doing the best we can to keep up with.
And so what are some examples of ways that they're getting that information?
A lot of it's been through hacking the FMCSA.
Yeah.
That's been one of the biggest ways that we've seen it.
Is that 2021, 22? There was a
It was right around there, and you would have thought that problem would have, you know, we would have seen this a little bit earlier,
yes.
And I think to a degree we were, but in the last year and a half to 2 years, that's when it's really, really started to ramp up. And we think that's probably where a lot of this has stemmed from. There's been some other hacks that have happened. And then there's other issues, like once people have found out how lucrative this can be, I mean, you can find MC numbers and all that information being sold on Facebook Marketplace.
Yes.
You know, and
I see it all the time.
All the time, right? And the older the MC, the higher the value. Right, I think there was one going for $40,000 because it was an MC number that was 15 years old. Nobody wants to work with a carrier that only has 1 year of operating authority, which is a whole other problem that we're trying to address at the same time. But yeah, so there's a number of ways that people are getting this information, but it all initially started with some of these hacks in the industry. At least that's what we can tell. And yeah, it's just like I said, it's an evolving problem, and people are getting very creative with how they're trying to fool the marketplace.
Or they get hold of a shipper's actual rate confirmation.
Right.
They already know what that shipper's MC, if they have it, or if it's a logistics part of that shipper, they have the MC. We saw that happen with PLCI, where a bunch of freight hit DAT, and there was a bunch of loads booked under the guise of PLCI. They had all the information. They had literal, you know, rate confirmations that were identical.
Wow.
And all those carriers never got paid.
And so sometimes they send their own drivers to go pick up stuff, right? And then other times is like, there's a, like you said, a complex ways of fraud here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the numbers, some of the stats. So CargoNet has a lot of good information. $223 million in cargo was stolen in the U.S. and Canada in 2022, which was a 20% increase over 2021. But then freight theft surged 68% in Q4 of 2023, which is a 10-year high. 16% of carriers reported that they have been rebrokered in the previous year. Jeez, yeah. That's one in five, one in six, one in seven, something like that. Like, in the previous year, 21% of freight brokers have been victims of rebrokering. Those are some crazy stats.
They are. And the reality is a lot of that is on the more conservative side, at least from what we can tell.
Oh,
when
sure.
You talk about the actual grand scheme of the problem, from the numbers that are out there, what we're hearing from some of the larger organizations in the third-party industry, you're probably talking about something in the excess of $1 billion. And that's more in the hard costs. That's reported. That's everything that's reported. That's not talking about the amount of money that organizations are having to spend in software to try to combat the problem. A lot of the vetting tools that are out there right now, you know, the legal costs of trying to hunt these things down. I mean, there are a lot of hidden costs in there that are not even really captured in that $1 billion mark. So it's getting pretty extreme.
Well, and let's talk about that too on the carrier side. Like, what are some of the costs? How does it affect the carriers trying to do good business?
Well, I think that's the hard part, and that's one of the things that we are really trying to help with. There's a lot of victims in this.
Yes.
The one that's honestly really being forgotten about is the carrier, is the 1-10 truck operation that's a solid business, good people that have gotten their identity stolen. And what ends up happening is maybe they've been in business for 15 years.
Yeah.
But as soon as that identity is stolen, the only real option they have, I mean, there's other avenues they can go down. They can try to resolve the problem. But what ends up happening is ultimately they have to start a new company, right? They need to get a new MC from the FMCSA. And like I said earlier, nobody's...
That affects insurance,
It affects everything.
Their safety history.
Yeah. And nobody is willing, at least in the third-party space right now, most brokers, most 3PLs, not because they don't want to, but just from a protection standpoint, from limiting your liability, they're really trying to avoid working with carriers that have been in business for less than 1 year.
Right, exactly.
Right, and understandably so.
Right.
That's one of the areas where Quickscope is coming in. We're really trying to help that honest owner-operator trying to do good business and give them a chance to get back in the industry by saying, hey, I have a way to validate that I am the carrier that was hired and I am where I'm supposed to be.
Yep. I mean, that's good. Cause in the insurance side of it, if you're getting a new MC number, new DOT number or something, basically in the eyes of insurance, you're just a brand new company, no safety history at all. And so you got to start from scratch with 3 times the amount of insurance cost for your premium.
And no way to drive that, and no way to drive the revenue needed to support it,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Exactly. Especially, I mean, if they've been in industry for 15 years and have a good safety record, I mean, yeah, premiums are down. They're not having issues. But now they have an eyeball on them being extra strict.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22 because the carriers are the ones that probably have taken the brunt of the damage from this,
right.
The good ones. But the tools that exist today and the way the problem is being addressed, especially in the third-party place, is to be more restrictive to the carrier.
Let me guess. You manage your fleet safety program, but you're too swamped with all your daily tasks to really keep up with it like you should. Now you're looking to hire someone to help, or you already tried and they just weren't ready for all the nuisances of driver and vehicle regulations. Well, if that's the case, you're in the right place. Trust us, we get it. Managing everything on your own is overwhelming, and missing any little detail can lead to audits, fines, and other penalties. This is why hiring a team of DOT compliance specialists that have your best interests in mind can be a huge asset to your company. As a carrier, this team can be the key in securing your long-term success, which is why CNS wants to help you manage your safety program. How? Well, our Safety Director program handles everything from ensuring new drivers are being hired correctly to helping train those drivers to be safe and accountable on the road. Your dedicated team will create policies to protect your company and your drivers from potential risk exposures, as well as manage your driver qualification files, new driver onboarding, CSA scores, fuel taxes, ELD management, driver coaching, license requirements, and more. Plus, with CNS on your side, DOT audits are even easier. You will have full access to our audit support team. If you're looking to hire, hire CNS. And don't take our word for it, check out all our 5-star Google reviews. If you want more information, just call or email now, or you can fill out the form below. One of our DOT compliance specialists will be happy to help.
You know, it's just a catch-22, and I think it's different right now because it's a fairly loose market. If things were tighter, it might be a little bit more difficult to just overqualify before you book a truck as a 3PL. But it's getting to a place where these carriers that are coming into the industry just cannot get off the ground because the way we're solving the issue is through the qualification process.
Right.
Qualification process is good. It's necessity. Mm-hmm. But there's other ways to say when qualification doesn't, there's not enough information to qualify. What's the alternative?
Yeah. I cannot stress that enough, that we are in no way saying that vetting and vetting software is a bad play. We absolutely think it's imperative. Our goal is to really work alongside the vetting processes and that best practice software and material, you know, user experience, et cetera.
Yeah, and so like, you know, so brokers, they have, what, a surety bond, you know, insurance coverage to some degree. Carriers have commercial trucking insurance, but this, like, fraud is it relatively protected in some way? Or, again, you said sort of fighting it legally, but...
What's at risk is generally the line haul.
Right.
That's what's at risk. I think you can get insurances to cover that, but, you know, unless you're doing a 3,000-mile trip, I'm not sure that...
Yeah, exactly.
And the return outweighs the costs.
Right, and the biggest risk, again, to the carrier, and we keep kind of going back to this, it's not that individual load.
Yes.
Where, you know, maybe they don't get paid. Obviously, we don't want to see that. The carrier doesn't want to see that. As we've mentioned, especially in this market, every dollar counts. So nobody's looking to take a, you know, $5,000 hit. But the biggest loss is what it means for that carrier when they are flagged as their identity having been stolen, because now they're blacklisted.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the end of that. They have to start a brand new business, which has its own costs. You know, good luck.
Yeah. Frankly. So. Before we talk about QuickScope and going into the details of how it helps, we're in a freight recession.
We are?
Man, and honestly, carriers are still doing, you know, trying to get those, but $2 load, like under $2 freight. Like, yeah. Come on, guys. But like you said, you're trying to start a new business potentially, and everything's expensive. Interest rates are up, and we're in a recession for freight. So it's, and it really looks like the rest of this year, even, it's just going to, like, stay in it and maybe help 2025. We'll sort of revamp and grow again. Yes, let's hope.
Right. Fingers crossed.
Is this issue extra highlighted due to freight recession, or is it just, like you said, it's that identity theft and that just a constant problem, or does it go hand in hand?
I actually think that while problems on the financial end for a lot of us in the industry, we're looking for that 2025 pickup to help us get back to some reasonable rates, help get some more money in the carrier pockets.
Yeah.
The catch 22 of that is I think the problem actually gets a lot worse. If we look at the fact that all of this has been happening in probably the loosest market in about 20 years, if not more.
Yep.
Everybody kind of has their choice of carriers right now.
Yeah.
So if we're seeing this much fraudulent activity when everybody has the ability to be very selective, imagine what happens when it's a tight market and you really have to take whatever truck you can get to a degree. I don't see the problem getting better with the market turning. I actually imagine it gets worse.
Just because there's going to be more.
Just because, yeah, exactly. Just because you don't have the option to be as selective in your carrier base.
Yeah.
Especially if you're dealing with critical shipments, time-sensitive commodities. It's not to be a doom and gloom scenario. You know, that's one of the reasons we have Quickscope is so that, hey, when the situation does change and the market does turn, and it always does, there's an option out there to say, hey, maybe I can build some capacity. Maybe I can start focusing on who I can use as opposed to who I can't.
Exactly. No, it makes total sense. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your background. So before starting Quickscope, I believe both of you worked for C.H. Robinson, logistics, learning all the fun stuff there, and just sort of been honed over the years. Give us a rundown of your background and how have you seen the fraud be an issue at work?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been in the industry now for, I think, 16-ish years. Obviously started at C.H. Robinson, was there for a little over 10. Took the standard career path there. You know, started on the operations side, just understanding what a truck was and where it goes. Mm-hmm. Eventually progressed into the capacity generation and management side.
Yep.
Did that for a few years and then kind of found my way when I hit the customer-facing side. By the time I left there, I was doing global solution design and sales, so leveraging every mode and service to provide an outcome for the client that they needed.
Yep.
It was awesome. I learned a ton, but eventually wanted to test my chops at a higher level of leadership. I joined a company at the time that was called Reed TMS, family private. They eventually sold to Werner, and at that time, this was 2021, we started a business called Togo. Togo is a supply chain resource group,
yep.
And we're kind of a guide to, you know, small, intermediate companies that need to get a grip on their supply chain and don't have the resources or the money to do it. And our client base is 3PLs.
Yeah.
It is shippers. And obviously, we're kind of getting punched in the face by this fraud issue. Not that we hadn't. You know, I think I started in 2008. There was always double brokerage risk.
Right.
But the penalty wasn't that huge.
No.
It was usually somebody giving it to a friend. You know, there wasn't this underlining carrier doesn't get paid. There wasn't this false identity. It just wasn't a problem that demanded a lot of attention.
Yeah.
You just kind of limited it through process. But over the past 5 years, I think it probably started when freight started to digitize. But over the past 5 years, it's gotten absolutely insane to the extent that when we were going on these consultations or advising our clients, like you need to find a way. And obviously there were some vetting platforms, some qualification platforms out there to do it. There were some protocols that you could put into place at shippers and receivers, but there really wasn't anything that existed inside the transaction.
Right.
After the agreement with the carrier had been made. And that's where we really started to dig in and said, if we're going to provide a solution, that's where it needed to be.
Yeah.
So we met as a team, about 2 years ago?
2 years, yeah.
Started ideating around how it was going to get done. Eventually said, you know what, let's get after it. And we did it and started implementing it for some of our closer customers, kind of through a beta environment.
Exactly.
And then went to market about, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Six to 8 months.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's been a wild ride. Yeah. So for me, I started at Robinson, like you mentioned, started with Mike. And actually, our group consists of six co-founders.
Yep.
And of the six, five of us started at Robinson. All of us worked together. Some of these guys were there a little bit before I was. But at the end of the day, you know, we all formed pretty close relationships there. And
awesome.
even as our careers went different paths, and obviously all of us ended up leaving at different points, we all ended up staying close and staying in touch, picking each other's brains on just different things happening in the industry. So, like I said, I've been in this about 15 years. When I left Robinson, I went to Penske Logistics and got a whole different view of the industry,
right?
There, you know, you're talking more about the 4PL space as opposed to the 3PL brokerage piece of the business, and Robinson's involved in that as well. But you know, earlier in my career, I just wasn't quite there at Robinson. So when I got to Penske, just like I said, got a different view of the industry. Really started getting into the more strategic carrier sourcing,
right.
Out of the transaction, more in the hey, we're representing this customer, full managed solution, RFP execution.
Yeah.
Really just, again, looking at that strategic pricing, trying to align with customer needs, values, expectations, and putting together solutions for them at a higher level. So that was a whole lot of fun, a lot of really great experience from that. And then went to, from Penske, went to Sunrise Logistics, actually right up the road in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. Great company, great people. Can't say enough good things about them. During my time at Sunrise, led their brokerage operations. Was a senior transportation manager over there, and led that team for 5 years. And that was another great experience. Got back into the produce side of the business. That's where both of us started. At Robinson was in the produce space, produce transportation, and recently. Got a call from Mike and we were just talking about some things. And as much as I loved my time at Sunrise, it was just a really great opportunity. Me and Mike and a couple of these other guys, you know, I'd always talked about getting back in business with them. And when the opportunity presented itself, I was just like, yeah, let's try this out. Let's make it happen. And we did. And so now I'm with Togo. But all that together is, you know, just another example of you get all these minds together, people that know the industry and a lot of the guys at Togo, you know, we're all invested in this QuickScope piece as well and taking the knowledge and pulling it together. So as far as the industry itself and how the problems presented, I mean, it's everywhere. To give you one example of I saw it here and I saw it here, it's I would say because of the timing when I was at Sunrise, that's when I really first started to get visibility to how big a problem it was post-pandemic, wherever you were, that's when you started to see it show its face. 2022 to 2024 have been really the high point, hopefully. But like I said, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But to this point, that's really where it started to accelerate. And hopefully we've found a way to stop it.
Yeah, it doesn't. It definitely doesn't seem like increase in fraud is stopping. It actually seems like the numbers that we've put out and you've put out from years ago, it just keeps getting worse. I mean, we're not really putting a dent into this thing yet.
Right.
And like you said, does it get worse when it tightens up? I don't know, but we're not really putting a dent in this at all.
Well, the complexity of the schemes, I mean, it's just it's ever evolving. And it looks legit. Yeah, 100%. You're just doing what you can to keep up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you think you solved the last problem.
Yeah.
And then they've come up with a new way to do it. And that's why we're saying we need to live inside the transaction, because that's the only place where you can really have that last line of defense and say, wait a minute, I see this person's supposed to be here. That's not you.
Yeah.
Right, and that's where it has to stop.
All right, so let's talk about that. So QuickScope, the issue is there's a lack of true visibility in the chain of custody between trade partners. How does QuickScope solve that?
Well, I mean, do you want to break down like the way the software actually works?
Yeah, I mean, we could give you kind of a once over of it. So whether it's a shipper or a broker, let's just call them the customer for the minute.
Right.
The broker makes an agreement with a carrier. Typically, when they make that agreement, there's a rate confirmation sent.
Yep.
That rate confirmation might include origin points, destination points, and any associated pickup numbers or critical information to get the shipper to release the load to that truck. After the load is booked between customer and carrier, they can deploy QuickScope. When they send the rate confirmation, they're not including anymore those pickup numbers or any critical elements. So QuickScope's deployed. When the driver gets within a 2-mile radius of the shipper, they receive a link. That link takes them to a secure portal.
Yep.
That portal asks them to take a picture of the side of the truck. It uploads their location. It geotags and timestamps that photo. Everything that just was collected can only be collected in that secure portal. You can't do any screenshots. You can't share the link. You can't do any of that. Has to happen at that time from the driver's phone. That information is sent back immediately to QuickScope. It's cross-referenced in real time. It takes about 10 seconds. And then if everything aligns with what the customer has expected, MC, DOT, phone number, location, etc., we will then release the pickup numbers or any critical information for that first pickup. If it's a multi-pick, the driver just needs to clear the geofence, and we'll release the second pickup. And then that process can occur throughout transit to make sure that if you want to make sure that the driver is still with that piece of equipment and that load, because a lot of the tracking methodology today doesn't do that. Electronics, even pharmaceuticals, they're going to want to make sure the driver is in with the truck.
Yeah.
And then pre-delivery. Pre-delivery, you're not going to withhold the delivery number, but you do want to perform a verification to make sure you're paying the right truck. And if you are a good acting truck, you're going to want to do that verification to make sure you're the one that's paid and not potentially. The other thing is that the shipper, the customer or broker that is entering our platform is also verified.
Right.
So they're not, we're not just having people sign up and start, you know, gripping and ripping rate confirmations around there.
Exactly. You know?
But that's essentially how it works.
Yeah.
It's after the transaction is made, we make sure all parties are legit in real time before the pickup information is released. And then we stay close throughout transit through verifications. And then pre-delivery, we just verify everything still remains the same and is correct so that everyone can get paid.
Right.
Wow.
Base level functionality is at the pickup, right? At the very least, you're going to have to utilize the pickup functionality when you're utilizing QuickScope.
Yeah.
You know, the broker does have the option, if it is a broker or shipper, whoever it is, we're going down both avenues. You know, there's override capabilities if the broker or shipper chooses to do that. We don't recommend it, but it is there. And we can really customize. If you do not necessarily have to have the verification at the delivery location, we recommend it, but you don't have to. The one thing you do have to have is validation at the pickup.
If you are looking for flexible CDL training, look no further. Check out our Google reviews online. You will see around 200 five-star reviews. Why? Not only because we offer one-on-one approach to CDL training, but we also have competitive pricing and some of the best CDL trainers in the game.
Between the five or six of us here, you got about 100 years of training out there and about 6 million miles. Daryl did car hauling.
Yep.
Both Tyler and Daryl have dabbled in flatbedding and all kinds of commodities there. For the students coming here, you got a lot of brains you can pick and a lot of knowledge out there. And if one of us doesn't have the answer, the other one will. We look at their experience. We listen to what they have to say, and then we go out there with them. And we see what needs fine-tuned, and we offer to them what needs fine-tuned. If there's any bad habits, good habits, what we're going to build on, where we'd like to go from there. And you know, we kind of gauge what's going on and what they're doing and then go at it from there. And if I'm ever stumped on something, I'll get with Marty, Daryl, Tyler, see what their input is. First, I'd recommend before you go into this, you know what you want to do. Know what you want to do. Know what you want to haul and discuss it. If you have a family, a wife, girlfriend, whatever it is, discuss it, because it's a very demanding business and it'll take a toll on a family real quick if you don't communicate. It'll take a toll on you real quick if you get into something you really don't want. So know if you want a Class B, know what you want, know if you want to do flatbed, know what you want to do, and then make sure that wherever you're going for training, K can offer you something along that line that helps you get there. I was told, spend 2 years with a company. That's what I did. And I knew what I wanted from that point on.
Yep.
And I feel that with that amount of time as well, you get to know what you want. You've been out there for a while. You know what's going on. Is this really what you want to do? And then you dial it in.
We are the first one-on-one CDL program to be approved in Pennsylvania. We are also the first CDL hotshot program to be approved in Pennsylvania and possibly the first in the United States. And now's the time to get your CDL license. Fill out the form down in the bio below or just give us a call at 717-496-9145 or email us at support@cnstrained.com.
So I'm thinking, you know, you guys, team of six, company that's growing, starting this business, working together. I'm curious, I have a background in business entrepreneurship, so focusing on starting businesses. And I understand the complexity and, you know, the headaches that you can have throughout this process. I'm just curious, as a team getting together, and how has that startup phase been like for you guys? Yeah.
Started with six guys in the Poconos just trying to brainstorm. And the first few ideas were not great. We thought they were. And then as soon as like we started to dive into them, I don't think that's very good. But as we progressed, as we talked more, as we started to poke holes in the original ideas, that got the gears turning. And I think we just continued to come up with new ideas, and that led us to Quickscope, and it also led us to some avenues that we planned to go down. So it didn't just give us the initial idea. It gave us a real roadmap for where we want to take Quickscope long term.
Right.
We're not looking for this to be a one-and-done solution that just ends it at validating pickup, you know, the driver at pickup and delivery.
Right.
We feel like there's a lot of other value that can be created that we have, like I said, we have on the roadmap. So I think that was, you know, the origin point was a bunch of us getting together and trying to just pick each other's brains on hey, where are you seeing this problem? How's it presenting itself? What can we do? And that just really got us going down a whole bunch of different avenues and thinking, hey, I think there's a lot of things we can do with this tool, and there's a lot of different places for us to provide value. The startup's been wild because none of us really have a tech background.
Sure.
Or startup background.
And that's a lot of what this is.
That's a lot of what this is. But we do have that operational advantage.
Yes.
Every one of us has spent time understanding what's practical, what works, what doesn't, what is actually going to provide value to somebody sitting in the seat on a day-to-day basis that isn't going to absorb all their time, create a bunch of additional steps, and just make their job more difficult. And I think that's really one of the things that we focused on is how do we present something that is useful but is not going to be just a burden for the user to take advantage of.
Yeah, that is true. We spent a lot of time, I think, overthinking it in the beginning, you know,
sure.
2 or 3 months. I think at one point we probably had, you know, 1,000 different specs, and we had to kind of take it back. But in other ways, we were pretty fortunate. We had Togo funding it.
Yeah.
So we really didn't have to go out and you know, create this vision and get seed funding and then build a team. We had a team.
Yep.
Our customer base already aligned.
Awesome.
So we had a really solid understanding. We also had a lot of people on our team that were connected to the asset level. So we had a lot of tools and resources at our disposal and didn't have to go chase money in the beginning. So we really just
nice.
Focused
yes. yeah.
on yeah.
The rat races.
Yeah. And we didn't want to, I mean, we're all pushing 40 or over 40 at this point with kids. So, you know, whatever we did, it needed to be sound from the beginning, and it needed to get there quickly. And we've been able to do that. And like Matt said, I think now the next stage is, all right, we've gotten this out to market. There's a lot of people using it. We put way more volume through it than we would have expected to at this point. It does work simply as designed. But I think what we want to do moving forward is say there's much more that can be done inside that transaction.
Right.
Between the carrier and the customer, whether that's a shipper or a broker. Some of it's just efficiency creation. Some of it might be document collection in real time.
Yep.
One of the things that we've been working on is the clean truck certs. There's a shipper that we're working with that is having issues with seals in transit. That we're putting together some tools with the OCR to actually capture the seal in real time, right. And if it's breached, document in real time. So there's things that we can do to make everything easier inside the transaction. I think that's what you'll see us leaning into over the next year or so. Some of those tools exist already, but just taking them to another level. And ultimately, what we want to do is create an avenue where the driver is rewarded. The only person in this scenario that isn't going to pay for something is the driver.
Right.
The driver is going to be rewarded for what they do. Somebody wants you to do an extra drop. Somebody wants you to go in and pulp the product. Somebody wants you to take a picture of the seal. There's all these extra things that I think we take advantage of. Usually the way it's regulated is through fines.
Right.
You don't do it, you get fined. What we want to do is compensate the driver directly, not the dispatch, the MC.
Yeah.
We want any member involved in this chain of custody to directly tip the driver. Every time the driver gets tipped, something goes on his internal resume of Quickscope to then come back and say, look how many times I've done this. Look how many times I've done that. So they can go out with a resume maybe to another employer. Maybe they go out on their own. Maybe they want to go back to a broker and say, you know that really important business for whatever electronic or pharmaceuticals? I'm your person for that. Here's why. So that's kind of the vision, just making things easier for everyone inside the transaction and trying to make it a more rewarding atmosphere for the driver.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, the driver just routinely gets the short end of the stick. The expectations continue to get higher, and it remains just as thankless in so many situations. Yeah. So if there's anything we can do to be the group to go out and say, hey, you know, let's give the driver some benefit in this, well, why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah. Well, because they're basically the last line of defense, right?
They're the only ones that can really stop it.
Right.
I mean, we can put all the software out there, we can put all the tools out there, but at the end of the day, it's going to be on the driver to make sure that it stops.
Have you seen an issue arise where there was a bad actor potentially involved, or in it was stopped?
Yeah, yesterday.
Daily. Through Quickscope. Absolutely. Yeah. We run into it daily. We're at least with one of our customers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there. I don't think there's a day where we haven't been able to say this is not.
It's actually astonishing.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, when we walked into this, we felt like we were experts at this issue,
right?
The specific fraud issue. We felt like we were experts. And as we started deploying the technology, obviously, we're hyper-focused on its performance. We're watching every order. We're watching the pictures that are sent, the phone numbers that are being utilized. I mean, we're hyper-focused. The stuff we were getting back was insane. We had one shipper that called us in for a consultation. They're in the food and beverage space, huge company. They kept what they thought was having an issue of cargo theft. They had three in 1 week. They called us. They said, can you come in and consult and fix this? So we went in. We put all sorts of protocols at shipping and receiving to make sure that they were more secure. And then we deployed Quickscope. The following week that we deployed Quickscope, over 40% of the trucks that were sent in were rejected. 40%. Week after, there was no issues. So we see this kind of jump in the first week. And it's astonishing because I think if you were sitting in the shipper seat or the broker seat or even the carrier seat, you'd say, I bet you 10% of the time it happens, 15%.
Right.
When we deploy this, it's insane right off the bat. And the stuff you see is crazy. We've gotten pictures of toilets, dogs, different states. I mean, it's insane.
It is really wild, some of the stuff that comes back. Again, even for experienced people that, you know, you kind of think you've seen most everything. No, the stuff that comes back is nuts. And a lot of times when we talk about, have we seen the benefit? Do we see it stopping the activity? It's not always in the actual verification process. A lot of times it's as soon as the carrier understands what the ask is, all of a sudden they're given the load right back.
Wow.
Well, actually, you know what? I can't do this today.
Yeah.
In a market where nobody's turning away freight, you know, that speaks volumes, right? So it's really pretty wild. And that 40% figure, it's not the only customer where that's happening.
Now, again, a lot of this is a fraud issue where maybe the broker's not even the bad actor, right? Have you seen issues where there is bad brokers? Because I know the government, a lot of the stuff that they're dealing with right now is trying to help with definitions of brokers, helping with financial responsibilities for brokers, but that's just part of the problem.
Yeah, You do see that. You do see that. Typically where you see that activity, though, is where you are the broker. You're giving a load to a carrier, or at least who you think is that carrier, and then that would-be carrier turns around and misrepresents themselves as a broker to another carrier.
Right.
Right? So that's typically where you see that. I don't know that we've seen bad brokers enter the mix with QuickScope at this point.
No, because we vet them first.
Yeah.
And you generally get a good idea. But I would tell you this, from the consulting work that we do on the Togo side, it's pretty crazy how many people operate without an authority. It is.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many people get away with it. You might be, you know, a shipper, you know, in a specific business, and you have trucks to service your customers, and all of a sudden you start brokering and never look into the regulations, and things get hairy that way. But most of the time, we stop it before they get into QuickScope.
Right.
And that's pretty easy to do. I mean, we're asking for W-9s, COIs. We're confirming every...
just asking questions is
actual
the...
email. And you, that, yeah. A lot of the issue is fake emails. They change a letter. They change this.
Yeah.
But we vet that on the front end. So we don't see the problem stopped in QuickScope.
Right.
It's before. But to Matt's point, there are a lot of these dual carriers, which if you're using a qualification tool or a vetting tool, they might not even allow you to book as a broker.
Right.
But that isn't fair either. I mean, if they're legit, you can be both.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, us at CNS, we deal with the regulations day to day and, you know, helping carriers, you know, one, learn it, know it, and work properly, being proactive, staying compliant. But like you said, it's so often, like starting a new company, no one's telling them what the rules and regulations are ahead of time. Yeah, we'll audit you 12 months, 6 months, 18 months down the road, and it'll be like, we'll hold your hand to teach you the rules, but it's like, you need to be taught before you start your business so you know what's going on and what to expect. Maybe there's regulations that'll be coming down. There's stuff in the pipeline, but do you see anything on this fraud side of it? Is there anything FMCSA's level can do about it? I mean, maybe it's federally.
I know that it's on the FMCSA's radar for sure, probably more than it has been. I think the industry has gotten loud enough about it that they've had to do something. What those exact steps they're taking are, I don't know. I know that it's I know that it's been going on for so long without any real regulation that the idea that they're going to be able to flip a switch and all of a sudden the problem is fixed is probably not realistic.
No.
And I think that the industry has been exposed enough that, like we've mentioned, the scams are just going to continue to evolve. They're going to continue to get creative. And regardless of what the FMCSA puts in place, you know, it's been exposed. So we need to look at our industry and say, okay, well, how do we change? How do we evolve? If the scams are evolving, how do we as an industry evolve? And that's really the direction I think we're going.
I actually went to D.C. with the TIA. It had to be 6 months ago now. There was 144 of us.
Nice.
And we were there for a few reasons. One of the primary reasons we were there was to address the FMCSA about fraud. And it got heated. It got intense. They are well aware that there's a problem. I know that they had discussed potentially reaching out to third parties to create more secure firewalls so that they don't have the data manipulated, and maybe making the process of becoming an MC a little bit more difficult and time-consuming and thorough. But I would be shocked if 95% of those 144 people didn't leave there thinking that it was on us.
And then it would take forever.
And honestly, it should be on us. I mean, I don't really think the government should be fixing all our problems. They probably should step in and try to clean things up a little bit. But, you know, did the large brokers, the big ones, they've always known that this has occurred.
Yes.
Are they stopping it now because it's affecting their perception amongst customers? Or are they fixing it because there's a bunch of drivers getting hurt? I think it's because money's affected.
Yep. Usually the case.
And I think, you know, if you're a broker now and you look at this problem and you say, wow, this is annoying, you know, we shouldn't have to deal with this. Government, can you fix it? Okay. Or you could be a broker that looks at it and says, okay, there's a bajillion brokers. I think last thing I saw from BrushPass was about 27,000. down from 33,000 the year prior. So they are slimming out, but there's still more than pre-pandemic. If I'm a broker, I'm looking for ways to differentiate. And I think a way to differentiate is to have a secure process and not just flip freight on load boards without any security practices. So if I'm a broker and I say that a part of my tech stack is RMIS and it's QuickScope and it's trucker tools, and I explain to my customer what that means, all of a sudden, using me as a brokerage, I'm high quality. I'm premium. My freight's secure with them.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to kind of change the way we're looking at it and fix it as an industry. And whatever the government does, it's icing on the cake.
Now, because the government mentioned that they're going to start a dedicated fraud team. Is that
a task force?
Yes.
of sorts.
Is that just more talking, right?
I'm not part of the FMCSA. I don't want to talk on their behalf, but I will say I'd be interested to see what the task force consists of.
Right.
I am a supporter of the TIA. I think that they will, if there's anybody that's going to move the needle, they've got some great people working in their organization. Ann Reinke, the president of the TIA, tremendous respect for her, and I know that she's dedicated to solving the problem. So that's who I would look to as the real group that's going to start moving the needle.
All right, and so if an issue comes up, are you guys creating a bad list, basically, of certain people or groups? Or?
Yeah, so the idea right now is that the data that is collected right now is a little bit different than some of the other tools that exist in the freight industry because you're getting an understanding of capacity at the driver level.
Right.
So below the MC, where traditionally you're evaluating your capacity at the MC level and trusting the credentials that, you know, how many pieces of equipment, what types of equipment, how many drivers. And we think there's value in that. And we also think there's definitely value if you're a good actor.
For sure.
Like having some points or credits associated to that. Right now, our customers are the ones that get the data. No one else.
Okay.
There are thoughts about maybe taking all the bad and giving it to one entity that could solve for the problem at a higher level, but we haven't made a determination there. Right now, we want our customers to keep their data, which is different than a lot of the big platforms out there. You know, when you're using some onboarding platforms that exist, you're taking your information, you're qualifying the resources, the vendors, the carriers that you use, and then updating this platform to be shared by the competition. So we want to make sure that the data that you generate is exclusive to you and can be leveraged by you to generate a competitive advantage.
Right.
Definitely know it's the non-traditional approach. We do understand the value in data, but we think that right now solving the problem is the most important thing out there.
Yeah, totally. Now, AI is a big buzzword. The industry moves fast. Like you said, it's once the bad actors see something, they try to change really quickly. Do you see AI in some way a part of that, whether it's helping or defending?
I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be.
Yeah,
know, AI is kind of here. I don't see it going away. What impact it has, to be determined, right?
Yes, exactly.
I think with how much we're still learning about what AI can do, what the future looks like, it's hard to say exactly where it will present itself, but I think we can say that it will. It's just, in what way? And that I don't have. If I had the answer to that, it'd be a nice place to be, But
We have some ideas, and I think when we release version 2, we could talk more about it. But again, back to the driver kind of being, at the bottom of the hill and taking all that comes with that, I think a big culprit in all of this is the shippers. Yeah. The shippers do whatever they want. Let's not lie about it. I mean, they do whatever they want.
Yep.
The receivers, too. All of a sudden, the pallet's broke, and it's got to be the driver's fault.
Yep.
So there's ways to leverage AI at shipping and receiving that we've discussed that the driver could utilize to create proof of what happened in real time and prevent them from taking the brunt of those damages.
Fascinating.
I do think it's important, though, that you have two camps. You have people that are, it seems very black or white, right? All in on AI, or I'm terrified of it, make it go away. Well, that doesn't seem realistic. So I think whatever happens with AI, and like Mike's saying, you know, we've got our own ideas of how we could potentially use it. Take advantage of it in a good way. It's here to stay. Work alongside it.
Yep.
And if you don't, I mean, that's how you're going to fall behind. Totally. It's here, so start working with it. See how it can help your business. And you know, we're finding ways, at least have ideas of what that can be.
Awesome. Sounds like the roadmap is big. I love that. So quick scope. What's your, is it broker, shippers, carrier side? What's the subscription model look like? Tell me, if I wanted to get started with it, what does that look like?
Well, I think it really depends on if you're a broker, a shipper, or a carrier. Uh-huh. you know, there's different ways to utilize the tool for whatever piece of the supply chain that you're responsible for. Subscription plans, we're pretty flexible with how the pricing model works. If you want to price at a transactional level, we can do that.
Yep.
Subscription, I think, is generally for anybody that's moving a relatively, you know, not even high volume, just consistent volume.
Exactly.
Subscription's probably going to be the way to go. But we're really comfortable working with our customer base in whatever regard, you know, they need from a pricing model. We're not trying to shut anybody out. Like, so we're trying to fix the problem. So whatever that pricing model needs to be to support it, that's what we're interested in doing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if they email info@quickscope.com, we'll ask them for information to qualify who they are. I think I mentioned those credentials earlier. They had a 7-day trial for free.
Cool.
If they want to move forward, like Matt said, there's a transactional option, there's a subscription option, there's a mixture of both. But the only thing that we require is if you're a large organization that wants to leverage API, we would ask for an annual contract.
Yep.
But outside of that, I mean, we want freight agents to use it. We want people that are small businesses, large businesses. I think for the carriers, though, and the drivers, when you're introduced to QuickScope, which will happen pretty soon, I'm sure, if you haven't been introduced already, right. It's not an application. You don't have to download anything.
Exactly.
It's a link that operates through a text message. And when you get that link, everything is laid out for you visually. Awesome. So you don't have to, like, take a piece of paper, call your dispatcher. It's right in front of you.
Yep.
It translates to the language that's in your phone. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever language you want it to be. You can literally hand it over to the shipper and show them what the numbers are. If there's more than one number, the shipper will get both. You're not going to miss numbers. So just for the drivers, give it a chance. It's there to benefit you as much as the shippers, and it's really easy. Yep. Shippers, we've done some pretty interesting stuff with. The same applies there. You could definitely just get the 7-day free trial and figure it out. Obviously, API applies there. But with the shippers, we're doing some things to actually control the pickup number. So the pickup number actually never gets to a broker. If you're using a broker, it never gets to the MC. If you're using an MC, it actually will transpire through QuickScope. And we have ways to actually generate random numbers to even create a code environment. To protect that number further for cargo theft.
Yeah.
But that's something we're doing right now actively, and it's working really well. So custom, I think the key takeaway is info@quickscope.com and free trial.
Yeah, we'll
2K
have
is no C in QuickScope.
Yes. we'll have the link in the description. We'll have it pop up. And reach out to them. If you have any questions about it, obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, type it down in the questions down below. We'll pass that information along. And if you're listening, you know, just info@quickscope.com, QUIKSKOPE.com. And reach out to them. And again, we'll have the information out there. Any last words, any last thoughts?
Honestly, just appreciate being here. Thank you for having us. And if anybody's interested in QuickScope, you want to learn more, reach out to us at quickscope.com, and we're happy to help.
Go Birds.
Oh, man. So there you have it. If you want to help prevent, you know, that the big issue with broker and freight fraud, reach out to QuickScope. And as always, stay safe out there.